Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 948. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Calamita. What is up, good sir?
Well, not good luck. How about yourself?
Man, there is just all kinds of shenanigans going on in the wrestling world to talk about. I am the only one in the Stunt Granny verse that I know of that decided to purchase AEW Dynasty. Jeremy went the other route and ordered, I'm not sure, was it TNA Rebellion?
Yeah, it was Rebellion, but I think isn't that just rolled into the monthly subscription?
The way Jeremy made it sound, and he will need to confirm, he needed to spend additional funds, to
okay,
watch
that that is one of their pay-per-views then. Okay. Yeah.
So, yeah, so there was a lot of wrestling on the weekend. I was I did purchase Dynasty. I am presently watching Samoa Joe versus Swerve Strickland because Tony Khan still has not learned that you really, really need to end a wrestling pay-per-view in the year of our Lord 2024 at 11:30 p.m. on the East Coast on a Sunday night. 11:30 is still late for a number of persons on the East Coast. I feel like 11:30 is pushing it, but hey, Tony, I'm trying to give you as much leash as I can here, buddy. I did not watch the main event until this recording because, have not had the time to intake it all. So that is a complaint about Dynasty number one. Really, the only other complaint, surprisingly enough, was the whole Chris Jericho thing. not the fact that he won the FTW title because whatever, like, that's just one of those things that is not necessary in AEW. But when you get the crowd chanting for you to retire and to take a break, not a great sign. Not a great sign at all. That is not the heat that you really want. Especially with the AEW audience that is going to stick to that. I think that you have a better chance of swaying a WWE audience to your side. But nope, not happening right now. Other than that, oh, you know what? The other thing that I was about in tears for. I really, really enjoyed Bryan Danielson versus Will Ospreay. The fact that a number of wrestling luminaries told us in various ways that I thought the one that caught my amusement the most was that it was the greatest match in North American wrestling history. I have a hard time throwing things out like that. I've watched a lot of wrestling. That just seems silly when you start saying stuff like that to me.
I haven't seen the match. I hope to someday, but yeah, no. The greatest match ever in North America cannot be thrown together as a work rate dream match, no storyline, well worked as I'm sure it was. Yeah, I didn't say that, period. It's a little much.
I love the match. Don't even, that isn't even the point. I would to say that it was match of the year so far. Sure. I mean, there is no reason it shouldn't be at the end. And like, I'd be shocked if it wasn't by the end of the year, you know, still up there in that conversation. But I always think that people get a little excited this early in the year too. And it's hard to remember something that happened in April when December comes rolling around. And you've watched Lord only knows how many hours of professional wrestling, because there are a lot of them on TV these days. And some of the wrestling TV that we actually watch jointly is something that I could have gone to, decided not to. Monday Night Raw emanated from the campus of Ohio State University at the Schottenstein Center. I am assuming that of all hilarities, the Columbus Blue Jackets were blocking off Nationwide Arena in case the Blue Jackets got into a playoff game. They were the last team in the NHL, so that is where the joke is there. So yeah, Schottenstein Center style Raw. Monday nights, just hard to get to. Always a busy day in general. Also, getting back, similar to Tony Khan's problem, Raw ending at 11 o'clock and then having to get back to your house is a lot different than SmackDown ending at 10 o'clock on a Friday. Just, it hits differently.
I can understand, yeah.
So, yeah, did not go. The big news, we kind of speculated about it last week, where we had talked about the rash of tournaments, and heck, we even really got some promo packages this week on Raw for the King and Queen of the Ring. So, the WWE did decide to eschew the whole tournament process, or even some type of faux four-way, and went with a battle royal to determine the, is it the WWE Women's Champion? Or was it the World? At least they've now separated it, because now it's WWE and World's Champion, if I'm not mistaken, between the split brands.
Yeah, and they just alternate between whether or not they're going to use the Universal name anymore, I think, too. They feel like it feels like they're waffling on that, whether they want to keep it or not.
Oh, yeah. But, yeah, I can't remember which one exactly Becky Lynch won, to be honest with you.
That one's the World Women's Championship, I believe.
World, okay. Yeah, so, yeah, Becky Lynch ends up winning it. I know that you and I last week talked about Liv Morgan carrying it for the entirety of this time that Rhea's out. They decided not to go that route. They didn't. No, it was big name on this one.
Yeah, they went big name. They went, but since Rhea... The thing with Rhea Ripley and Liv Morgan is this. Rhea had never actually completed a face turn. Nor had Liv Morgan completed a heel turn. I assume that was all coming. And the other thing to realize is that Liv Morgan was never going to be Rhea Ripley. Liv Morgan was never, ever, ever in the plans to be Rhea Ripley, I don't believe, for a second.
Yeah. I agree. Like, she was the next victim.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't know, because I think we had even discussed going into WrestleMania that we expected Rhea to win, and that Liv was really her only next logical opponent. Hey, good news. You have her fight Liv Morgan, and we get the draft, and bingo bango. Rhea Ripley has some new opponents to fight.
Yeah,
I believe
really exactly how it was going to go. But now they've, with Rhea's injury, they had the choice, I guess, of running with Liv Morgan. They also had the sentimental favorite of mine and our good friend Steve Williams to have Chelsea Green backdoor her way into becoming known as champion.
That was, I will admit, like, there is, yeah, Chelsea Green should keep her job for a long time. Like, I'm not sure that they have done the whole my feet hit the ground, but I'm going to pretend that they didn't routine before. So that was a pretty fun spot that that Chelsea got to participate in this week, even if she did not get the, as he called it, the honky-tonk man run. You know, undeserving champion carries the championship for a long time. Like that, hey, I would not have argued with that outcome.
Right. You know? No. I wouldn't have either. I really like the idea. But the way that they're doing this is they got all, I must imagine, they got all these house shows, they got all these international shows coming up. You know, Rhea's been pushed huge for the past year plus. She's not going to be around. She was all but turned babyface, essentially.
No.
And now we're going with the biggest name babyface we can to hold on to the title for, you know, for however long. I mean, I it wouldn't surprise me if Liv Morgan still ends up with the title, you know, before Rhea Ripley comes back. Yeah.
Well, and you kind of alluded to it, you needed some type of transition for Liv Morgan. You can still have that happen against Becky Lynch and get her primed for a fight with Rhea Ripley. If you don't, you know, if you don't want to rerun Rhea and Becky so soon, and I mean, I don't even, you know, we're still speculating on when Rhea's going to be back, but, you know, there's, assuming 4 months or so of time here, at least, that we have in between then and now, like, I think that's more than enough time to get Liv Morgan where you want her to fight a, and I mean, it still feels like Rhea's going to come back as a babyface. Like, so there's, oh, yeah, to me, there's no reason not to plan Liv Morgan as the heel in this situation.
Yeah, she absolutely is. And what the hell happened to Dominic's, or we're kind of on the subject, what the hell happened to Dominic's shoulder in the last week? I'm not going to talk about that mustache.
Oh my gosh, the comparisons with the Eddie Guerrero mustache were pretty striking, I must say. And almost the whole look was very Eddie Guerrero.
Yeah.
But yeah, had no idea that or when or how he got injured.
No, I heard nothing. But back to the women's situation. We went with the big name. They gave her the big moment. Yet we had yet another big, you know, go out in the crowd type moment for the big baby face to celebrate with the crowd. I mean, it was a, once again, really, really nice moment. Really nice. You could tell how much, you know, Becky means to the crowd, and you know all those young girls were running up to her and everything. Yeah, it was really a nice moment.
A little bummed that I missed that, but I will admit, like, in the moment that it happened, I'm like, that was kind of predictable.
it is. Well, I mean, it was either going to be Becky Lynch or it was going to be Liv Morgan, with an outside chance they were to go with the Chelsea Green, you know. So through the back door, wins by accident. You know, same deal. But it came down to Becky and Liv and where they wanted to go. And so here's the thing, in the immediate future, there is no guarantee Rhea's getting back by SummerSlam. You know, you could have done the thing with, and you're still kind of do it, where Liv Morgan will essentially be doing Drew McIntyre's act.
Oh.
Taking credit for someone's injury and not letting it go and constantly bringing that person up. And Drew's not going to be champion the whole time. You know, they're doing a transition run with Damian Priest first before, you know, we get back on track to, you know, McIntyre. I assume McIntyre being champion heading into the summer and, you know, the inevitable match with Punk.
No,
right. So, you know, it's not like Liv Morgan doesn't necessarily need to be champion for 6 months. Oh. She could pick it up, you know, later in the summer. Once again, is that they got all these international dates. They need a bit, you know, they need a big name. There's confusion as to whether Becky was going to take time off. Was originally going to take time off, whether she was not originally going to take time off. You know, she's kind of playing it coy, like, who said I was taking a vacation and all that?
Like when you play it up that much, it almost makes it seem like, yeah, you were taking a vacation.
Yeah.
Like no, you're doing the opposite right here. You're confirming what I suspected.
Yeah. I don't believe that. I don't believe that Becky was going to be on a lot of these shows coming up. Rhea's injury changed everything there.
I mean, there was no reason to have her. We talked about it. Like, it was kind of funny how much she burnt through keeping her away from Rhea Ripley the entire
year. She burnt through quite a bit. Like, I was kind of rack my brain and said, you know, what matches she really has left that haven't been done? And there's only the only one I could think of was at this point now is Jade Cargill. And that's, you know, but that's everyone's, you know, that's Bianca's, that's Charlotte's, that's Rhea's, that's the big match, you know, that's the new person who's getting a huge push that can be, you know, mixed, everyone's, you know, in the mix. Everyone's first time opponent. But right now, no, I mean, they gave Piper Niven a nice shot, even though hilariously the table would never break, so Nia just had to powerbomb Becky right through it.
Oh my gosh. They were not joking when I think it was Nia Jax joking about the table of concrete, and Piper Niven's like, yeah, tell me about it. Like, I failed to go through it twice. That had to have been uncomfortable.
I imagine it was, but then again, what we've already seen Becky Lynch beat Nia Jax, in an anything goes match, that, you know, that door has been closed. You could heat up Piper Niven. There's some things you could do, and of course the draft is going to change a lot. You know, maybe Damage Control ends up separated from Bayley, and, you know, EO can go after Becky. Then you could certainly do that. Does Liv, you know, of course, you know, Becky and Liv, I'm sure is going to happen.
Oh, yeah, but I mean, like you said, like Becky and Liv, yeah, that'll happen, I would imagine, in the near future here. Like, I guess it wouldn't surprise me if it's a similar. Well, I don't know. I guess I'm really not sure on that one, because I mean, you gotta, if you want to give her Liv the championship, she's got to win it in at least somewhat short order, I would think. You know, like I wouldn't see her losing to Becky and then coming back to it at a later date. So that I guess that part would be kind of interesting if they are opponents right off the hop here.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. I mean, I imagine Liv was going to be the opponent at Backlash. They might delay that a little bit because, well, there isn't a great story with Becky and Liv. I mean, there's been interactions, of course, but once again, Liv has to complete that heel turn, and we have just had so many of these. I've lost so much, and now I'm going to snap heel turns.
No.
We've literally had two. I mean, it wasn't a turn. Well, one of them, I guess, wasn't a real turn, but yeah, this losing streak leading to you snap and beat up your friend or whatever, you know, that's just, you know, they've used it a lot lately.
Yeah, considering that it ended last week's Raw and then happened, I can't remember when Ludwig Kaiser beat up Giovanni Vinci, but he did at some point on this program. So, and I mean, that was more of a long-term thing. You could almost talk about the dressing down of Chad Gable to the rest of the Alpha Academy there.
Well, yeah, that cemented that he is now a heel, and they're going to hold off on him putting together a new group. And instead, he's going to get his heat by abusing his students. You know, verbally abusing his students for however many weeks this is going to go on before he either fires them or they have enough.
Yeah, they're definitely going to let this one work a little bit longer than them just walking out on the whole situation. Because all of them look kind of scared and timid with the change in demeanor. And, that's fine. I mean, I guess I do feel like Otis works better as a babyface, but, man, still, I mean, none of them have gone anywhere.
No, they have not. No, Otis, ever since that, him and Gable did get a quickie tag title run out of this for the early part of Alpha Academy when they were heels.
No.
But since then, yeah, it's been not good. I mean, overall, the trajectory of Otis's career since the thing with Mandy Rose fills it out, and they had him lose the Money in the Bank briefcase because of pure stupidity. It's not been good for old Otis. He's essentially become, and since they decided to start pushing, you know, having Gable be the lead singles guy.
Oh.
He's been essentially the world's largest jobber.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he has eaten a lot of L's because Chad Gable's the main guy. So, yeah, he's in a rough spot if they want to reestablish him at some juncture, because that's going to take a lot of doing at this point. On the other turn front, like, what do you do with Vinci?
I think that there's been some releases lately, and it wouldn't surprise me if he joins that list.
That's the only thing that hit me for him. I'm like, I'm still not even that sure about Kaiser. Honestly,
yeah, and I mean they tried. Remember that when they did that weird vignette last year of him model type. Well, he was still with Imperium. It was like, did we miss a couple episodes here?
No, we didn't. It kind of came out of the blue when he did his
career. It feels like that they're gonna go back to that now, so he's gonna get a shot at least. But yeah, Vinci is such a blank slate and barely shows much charisma. Ring work, he's fine, but he's got no personality of his own at all. So yeah, it's gonna be very weird to see how that one goes. He has been a complete sidekick. Or a complete, you know, he's, you know, thug number two.
He's definitely been at the back of the order. And it's one of those ones where I don't know if they want to establish a pecking order, a 1-2-3 pecking order with that group, or if they're just going to go with a duo moving forward. Like, that's...
Well, I mean, Vinci's out.
Right.
I mean, there's no coming back from that. And
no. No, but I guess I always feel like when someone gets kicked out, someone comes in. You know what I mean? I can't remember that many instances of groups where they kick someone out and then they just stayed a two-person team or, you know, whatever the number was. You know?
There's really no reason for them to stay together. They may not. Especially if, you know, they're going to take the Kaiser character in that direction of he's this suave international man of mystery but
playboy kind of situation.
Playboy character. Yeah, that's really not going to play well off of off of Guther. So
pairing going that route.
I could see them just completely splitting, you know, Gunther being on his own.
But I guess that's what made the whole situation even stranger, was Gunther seemingly approving of the actions when they met backstage.
He did approve.
Which is why I'm like, hold on, are these two just still staying together? So, yeah, I guess that'll be an interesting one to see what, because because Gunther declare for King of the Ring, or did he just say he wanted to win it?
He declared.
Okay. So it does kind of seem like a next logical step for him if they don't want him. I mean, it's a good objective to keep him away from whatever championship shuffle they're gonna do.
Yeah,
I guess that's the interesting one for me. It's always one of those this show here. Like, we know the draft is coming up, and how many times have they screwed with our champions? You know, like, oh, this was the SmackDown champion. That's the Raw champion. We're going to swap them over.
Yeah.
That's the one way to solve the opponent problem, too, is just to swap the champion and not everyone else. King of the Ring keeps Gunther away from worrying about that championship slide. And what, we got two relatively new champions, and you don't necessarily want Gunther to lose his first championship match? Question mark.
I mean, he probably could. Yeah, I mean, I don't think he's going to be mixed in with the whole World Heavyweight Championship situation anytime soon. You've got Priest, you've got McIntyre, you've got Punk, and everyone who challenges, you know, Priest in between. Cody's an interesting one.
Oh.
Because there's obviously a lot of potential in a Cody-Gunther match. You really could take that somewhere. I'm not saying necessarily that Cody would definitely win, but he probably would. I mean, we have no idea when The Rock is coming, going to be able to come back at all. So you can't pencil that in for SummerSlam. Cody and Gunther could work as a SummerSlam main event.
Yeah, for sure. You know, that'd be a good one.
Yeah, I do think that Gunther will be, you know, we'll go after Cody eventually. And the question of whether he, Cody doesn't need, we don't need year plus long title reigns for everybody.
No.
Especially after, what we just finished. Now, granted, you don't want the titles changing every other week, of course, but.
Yeah, the eight months would be fine, 9 months or something.
There's no rule that says he can't get it back.
Yeah, there are reasons why some people are 14-time champions.
Yes, that's true, yes.
So, yeah. That is definitely the case there. You can capture that championship more than once. So yeah, it wouldn't be bad if Cody is not a super long running champion. And I mean, I think both of us do not expect Damian Priest to be champion for that long. Winners rarely seem to be a long term champion.
Not particularly. No. I mean, once again, it's you know, they're in Scotland in June. It seems pretty obvious, you know, what's going to happen here. But once again, it's the journey. It's good for Priest, no matter what, to have that on his resume. That you know, he cashed in. He was champion. Solidify himself, as a top guy. And then we go back to our business. Which is McIntyre and Punk.
Yep. Pick up where we left off. I'm trying to think. I feel like we hit a lot of Raw. Yeah, I mean, Ricochet and Andrade took on Santos and JD with, you know, because of the aforementioned injured Dominic Mysterio. I mean, it happened.
Yeah, it happened. I mean, I guess the next main thing that happened on Raw was our confrontation between Sheamus and Drew McIntyre.
WWE definitely grabbing from the interwebs again. There were some derogatory comments thrown at our good friend Sheamus this past week over what might not have been a completely stellar physique. While most of those judging probably have never been in as good a shape as Sheamus is presently. They just do not, pardon the pun, they fed off of that and brought it into a real storyline where Sheamus got made fun of for eating one too many hamburgers.
Yeah, he did. Burger after burger after burger was a, you know what? That was a good one. it was an easy one, but it worked.
Yep. Hey, sometimes similar to the obvious is the good choice. Sometimes, yeah, obvious. It was an obvious one. It was a good choice. Go with it. I'm always, if you're going to tell me that there's going to be a Sheamus and Drew McIntyre match, I'll be there. I've got no complaints to file with this occurring again. I mean, we know that it hasn't happened in what has Sheamus been gone 9 months.
Yeah.
So it's been a minimum of 9 months since this has happened. So I'm okay with it happening again. Sometime in the interim here. I guess fun interaction. Like, I don't, there's not a lot of people you can have Drew interact with in the meantime. You know, like he...
Not really, no.
He's kind of short on opponents himself without CM Punk around.
Right, and then him... He also declared for the King of the Ring, which is interesting because now that puts two guys in it that I would believe that could win it and really shouldn't be taking losses in between.
Oh.
I mean, McIntyre could always take a CM Punk distraction loss. Like I guess we could go down that road again.
Oh. Right.
Because I do think that Gunther is going to win the King of the Ring. So that can launch him to going after a world championship. Whereas I don't know if McIntyre necessarily is the win King of the Ring to justify challenging Damian Priest at some point.
No, definitely not. Yeah, I feel like Drew's resume speaks for itself. And I mean, did he invoke the championship rematch clause at all? I'm trying to remember.
That has not been a thing. Yeah, it hasn't been a thing in over 5 years, actually.
But this
one's extra because it doesn't seem like any of the former champions are all that are even all that interested. I mean, Gunther said he was happy to not be Intercontinental Champion anymore.
he gets to move on to bigger and better things. Gunther does. He didn't really say what those bigger and better things are, but other than King of Ring, he didn't really elaborate.
Yeah, he's gonna have to let Jeff determine where everyone sits.
Yep. He's gonna wait till the deck chairs of the Titanic are done being shuffled here. Yeah, it was a really short. I looked through the matches here, and it was a real short list of matches on Monday Night Raw for being a 3-hour show. Because we started with the tag team championships to kick off the evening, which. It kind of went as I would expect. The Awesome Truth defeats DIY, who did not really seem like they were primed to take on the championships.
Yeah, and then did you see the digital exclusive interview they did afterward?
I did not.
Well. Another team looks like they're gonna split up over losing, with Ciampa showing he just being completely frustrated and just downtrodden over the loss.
Just when it looks like the WWE does actually have two tag team divisions to have belts on separate shows, they decide to start breaking teams up.
This one that hopefully they just have them on different shows, and because God, I do not need to see another Gargano versus Ciampa match ever again in my lifetime.
That would just be a weird one to end up having happen on the main roster, quite frankly.
Yeah, in the second match on the first hour of Raw, they get 6 minutes. I mean, It doesn't seem to have a point to it.
It feels like they've reached their limits, and breaking them up as a tag team does not seem like a great plan to me. But they can do them there. I guess that leads us back to SmackDown then. Going backwards this week, the main thing I remember from that is the continued Bloodline saga.
Yes, the Bloodline saga continues to be interesting, and they also continue to put it kind of during the middle of the show. So, different different way of formatting the show for SmackDown versus Raw, where everything seems to happen, you know, kind of still compartmentalized to those, you know, big, you know, top of the hour, you know, numbers. So, yeah, we have Solo continuing to explain what's going on here without completely explaining what's going on here, without revealing who's... You'd think by now Paul would have gotten another phone to call Roman Reigns and find out that Roman Reigns isn't endorsing any of this.
Paul does not remember Roman Reigns' phone number, evidently. And did not get a replacement phone.
Does not seem like he did.
Yeah,
but again,
Paul had more money than that, at least storyline wise.
Yeah. And then we get yet another blood angle in WWE as Kevin Owens is thrown onto the stage with, you know, by Tama Tonga, the MFT, whatever the heck that means. They did not explain that, and nobody knows.
I tried to figure out why he was calling him that. I'm like, hold on, is he calling him a non-fungible token right now? I'm like, why is he calling him that? If that is the intent right now, I am so lost. So, okay, I'm glad to know that everyone's lost on that one.
It is, and it is MFT.
Oh, MFT.
You didn't even hear that.
I did not hear it right. I thought it was N as in Nancy.
No, it's M as in Matthew. So, but yeah, they beat down Kevin Owens while Paul Heyman looks on horrified as he has no idea what's going on, who's calling the shots here at all. They do this the bit outside with Paul Heyman seeing the car that was... attempted vehicular manslaughter is always fun on WWE programming, especially when it does not result in anyone getting arrested.
Well, and the other part that baffled me about that one, I'm like, was I missing something? Didn't Paul Heyman say that he was already in the arena? I was like, hold on, why was he coming to the arena in a car when he got hit? If he was already there, or did they already know about it? They already know about the hit and... It's not a hit and run, is it? It's a hit and hit?
Yeah, I guess so. It's a
hit and hit some more.
it might even be a kidnapping.
Really? Yeah, it would definitely fall under kidnapping rules. I would say any forcible restraint can result in that. So yeah, definitely could be listed as that. He was taken from one location to another location, not of his own volition.
Yeah. I believe that does pass the dictionary definition. Yes. The new bloodline has targeted Kevin Owens. We will see how Kevin Owens responds. We'll see who Kevin Owens ends up getting for help. Maybe we'll find out on Friday, or maybe the result of the draft will give him a new friend, or maybe his recent new friend Randy Orton will be able to help him. Who knows?
Randy Orton always seems to be a problem solver and has been fairly absent on TV.
Yeah, they have not brought him back on TV since WrestleMania.
So, I mean, a surprise visit from him would not be completely shocking. Especially if you're trying to get some people over in a top storyline kind of fashion.
But we do know that apparently, Tama Tonga and Solo Sikoa, they are definitely going to have a new friend joining them in the not too distant future. As it's believed that Jacob Fatu is going to bypass NXT and go straight to the main roster to join them.
Yeah, I mean, if you're trying to undermine Roman Reigns, I feel like you need to add people to the fire, right?
Oh, yeah.
So it makes sense. I feel like that gentleman has been wrestling for quite some time at this point.
Yes, he finally got out. He finally got out of that blood oath contract that Court Bauer had him under.
Oh my! Does he have 7 children? That's what Wikipedia says. Children 7, and he's 32, and I'm just like, yeah. Debut 2012. On the California independent scene, so
how long had he been with MLW?
Since 2019.
Really, I feels like it was longer.
Yep. So, but that's still 5 years of.
Yeah, it's still 5 years. Yeah.
Somewhat top of the indies level wrestling.
Oh yeah.
So, yeah, he does not feel like, to me, one of those persons that needs to hit NXT for any seasoning.
No.
I mean, that almost, like, that was one of those, to me, moves that you made in the NXT black and gold days. So you clearly have this person that does not need to be in developmental, but you throw them down there anyway because Vince doesn't really like them. For seasoning that they don't really need. See Balor, Finn, Nakamura, Shinsuke. Yeah, there are some others on that list. Hell, even Ciampa and Gargano didn't really need any seasoning with as much wrestling as they had been through at that point too. So yeah, I can definitely see this guy skipping the main roster. So yeah, go for it. Like, make this storyline's been kind of fun. Paul Heyman having to be play out of his element has been kind of fun. And yeah, we'll see what happens or how they develop this story in the meantime.
Yeah, absolutely.
Man, yeah, there was not because we got the introduction of the WWE Tag Team Championships. Fairly quickly thereafter ended up getting a 4-way tag team match for the chance at A-Town Down Under. And not to much of anyone's surprise, the Street Profits end up being the winners because they were one of the two babyface teams in the match.
Pretty much, yes.
it did not seem like AOP or Legado del Fantasma were destined to win this one. You know, they get to probably, in my estimation, beat the Street Profits and can claim a win over a former tag team champion then.
Yeah, that's pretty much looks like where we're going with this. I'm not sure exactly where the tag team divisions are going anytime soon. We'll see what the draft brings and what teams look to be promoted heavily going forward.
No. Yeah, there are some names there, but they still need to do some organizing on that tag team depth chart. Um, Yeah, I guess the earliest thing in the show, also a contenders match. Not terribly surprising that AJ Styles ends up being the first one to take on Cody Rhodes, since the heel face alignment is better for him than it is for LA Knight.
It is, yes. And AJ Styles is kind of can be your go-to person if you need a challenger on a B show, and that's really what this is. They're going to have that hot crowd. They're going to have that hot crowd in that Paris. And you know what's going to be? It's Cody's first title defense. He's obviously not going to lose. and it'll be a good match. So hey, why not?
Yeah. It seems like a match somewhat made in heaven there. And AJ's looked great in his return, so. I guess really the main event of both shows is something that does not get talked about just because it's a little more commonplace. Both shows end with women's matches. In women's championship matches at that on both SmackDown and Raw this week because there were some big goings on there because we got the return of the press box interview by Kayla Braxton talking to Damage Control only to end up being confronted by Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill.
Yeah, they did do that. I absolutely imagine Bianca and Jade are going to be women's tag team champions sometime very soon. So we're keeping that issue alive. And we are... I don't know if this is keeping alive, but we are about to get a big push for one Tiffany Stratton, who was able to lay out both Bayley and Naomi, you know, during their match, causing the no contests, setting up a fairly obvious triple threat match at Backlash.
And that was at least one interesting tidbit that that Kayla got out of Damage Control before they ended up with the confrontation. Dakota Kai did at least say that Io Sky would go after the women's championship at a time of her choosing. Always a good storyline excuse to go with in these situations. That does leave the door ajar to do a three-way match here. And Tiffany was pretty upset about taking the L last week. Honestly, given her trajectory, it was a little bit surprising. They've wanted to give Naomi some level of credit here. I mean, I feel like she had almost already eaten too many L's in... since her return back to the WWE.
Yeah, no, I agree completely. Yeah, no, Naomi needed a win, and she, you know, I guess they felt like Tiffany could afford the loss. They knew where they were going with this. Kind of interesting that they're already having Tiffany and Bayley interact. I would have thought maybe you wait a little bit for that. Possibly even having Tiffany win Money in the Bank, but. Her interactions with, Bayley have already kicked off, and we'll see how where that all goes. I mean, you get through the triple threat by having. Actually, hold on. Tiffany Wayne, Queen of the Ring, seems because she would work the hell out of wearing a crown and calling herself Queen Tiffany.
That seems tailored perfectly for Tiffy time there. So, it, Queen of the Ring seems like a good time. Like, I don't feel like there are any other, I was going to say there aren't any other women that are really in that category. But Jade Cargill could be put into any category they feel like.
Right. But it's typically a heel. It can be a heel gimmick. I mean, they let Woods, as much as I love Xavier Woods, they let him cosplay around as King of the Ring just for shits and giggles, basically, a few years back.
Yeah, that's one where I'd be interested to see the Triple H take instead of the Vince McMahon take.
Yeah.
I feel like you could still be comical but carry yourself better than Woods did that time. But who knows? Like, it's not going to happen again. So, like, I'm not holding my breath for getting a redo on that. Tiffany, that was a little bit surprising. Like, you kind of felt like, it almost felt like it was too soon of a match even for Naomi. After getting a win over someone like Tiffany Stratton, you know, like, it seemed like an awfully quick turnaround to losing.
Yeah, it was a little bit.
So, yeah, I guess I wasn't completely surprised that it happened. Yeah, I guess they'll just play up tensions between Naomi and Bayley in the future here, and as we get into the triple threat match weeds later. Is there anything else on the shows to talk about? Because I did have one other thing in mind before we boot scooted.
I think we can move on to that. Go ahead.
We got a number of cuts this past week that I do not believe have been talked about. Is that not?
No, they all came. No, I was expecting that. I was expecting that to be going to bring up. Or was I expecting the cuts?
The conversation about the cuts. I thought that you were surprised a little bit there.
Well, have you heard the news from not so much wrestling news, but that the FTC has now made all non-compete agreements illegal in this country?
I did see that. That is a definitely another big one.
They can't hinder Jinder if he wants to show up on Dynamite tomorrow.
Jeremy and I talked about it a little bit on text earlier today. All of the releases seemed like one of those situations where they just weren't using the people.
Yeah, no, they weren't using anybody who was released. I mean, I did see the video. I just saw it. the former Cameron Grimes release. I felt bad for him, so you know he definitely seemed devastated by it. That sucks. That absolutely sucks for people. But yeah, it's there. This round and other rounds definitely were people who were. Since Triple H took over, it hasn't been manic. You know, we haven't had people who were being pushed, released. You know, there's no Braun Strowman or Bray Wyatt on this list. Oh. Yeah, there was no one who happened to be holding a championship at the time, or in a feud, or actually actively in a storyline.
No. None of these were complete surprises to me in any way. Just because, again, like most of them were inactive at best. Like, Von Wagner, out of all the names, Von Wagner probably had the most TV time recently.
Yeah.
That is making a statement.
Yeah, he had some TV time, but it wasn't really going anywhere. And, you know, he's doing jobs to Noam Dar, who's half his size. It was pretty obvious they've given up on him. So,
oh, yeah. Yeah, he was not in a in a good spot.
No.
And then when you give him the children training montage, and then you lose the match.
Yeah, you give him. Yeah, you're. I don't know. The brain damage. The brain damage after the attack by Bron Breakker caused him to basically be like a child.
Yeah.
Yeah, that whole thing.
If you can't come back from that and win, they do not have faith in you.
Yeah. His whole base run, and because it wasn't really fitting him. It damn sure wasn't fitting, you know, Robert Stone. He's not meant to be a baby face at all, you know. And then just like, yeah, that whole thing wasn't working. Jinder Mahal and his. Who I do feel somewhat bad for is Veer, because there was that window of opportunity with him when they played those vignettes for like 6 months straight of Veer is coming. They totally could have turned that into a whole mean thing of Veer has come, and maybe made a Goldberg level baby face out of him if he just started squashing people. But he quickly basically just became another type of savage foreign heel.
No.
And then they got bored. Then they sent him back to NXT, teamed him with Sangha, paired him with Jinder. And there just wasn't anything. They just couldn't get a sustained push as a team. You know.
Oh. Yeah, there wasn't a sustained push. There wasn't even like not that I was expecting a long world championship run out of Jinder, but you would have thought that he could have taken the U.S. or Intercontinental Championships at some juncture.
You know what? No. I've never been a Jinder Mahal guy. That whole thing and him being champion, it was a joke in my opinion. I have no good feelings about Jinder Mahal, honestly. There's legit nothing there. You know, maybe as a manager for a tag team, he could have been fine. He occasionally wrestled, but as anything of a push, yeah, no, it never worked with me.
Yeah, fair enough. But yeah, I mean, even. Yeah, we've had pretty much a year plus of Triple H here. They didn't see TV. Like, I mean, that's what it comes down with all of these people. Like, as much damage as, you know, you could say that Vince did to Xia Li, there was time to have a repair if you wanted to, but it didn't happen.
No.
So yeah,
no, it just never happened. These people just weren't on TV. It just wasn't meant to be for these folks. I mean, again, I can feel bad for people being let go. I mean, you know, I'm not gonna dance on anybody's graves or anything. It's fortunate it happens, but yeah, it's also just wasn't anyone who was getting a push or was going to get a push anytime soon. So it sucks, but that's just life.
Yeah, it does suck. And one thing that does not make life suck is beer. And very good beer also does not make life suck. This week's Bell Time beer is Wolf's Ridge Brewing Double Barrel Dire Wolf Barrel Aged Imperial Stout. 10.8% alcohol, 50 IBUs, two rare bourbon barrels, one of 14 months, and another, because what is it? Oh, yeah, there's the 8-year Willett Family Estate single barrel bourbon barrels, and So it's, the 14-month and the 8-year-old oak barrel aging here that this beer went through. And, Wolf's Ridge does a really, really fantastic job with these dark beers that have been barrel-aged multiple months. They just really have a great mouthfeel to them. The Dire Wolf beer itself just is a great base to work off of and really takes on a lot of the different characteristics of the different barrels that they put them in, whether they're bourbon and or whiskey, there have been both. They do a really, really great job of crafting their beer at Wolf's Ridge Brewing. So should one find themselves in Ohio and you see some Wolf's Ridge Brewing on the shelf, I say go ahead and purchase it. It is a very, very delicious brewery. If you're in Columbus, that's the one to one of the ones to hit. So that is the Belltime Beer Suggestion from at DeFrango11. He is at Stunt Cali. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Download us at any number of locations, whether it's Spotify, iHeartRadio, or Amazon. Have a good night, grandkids.
Later.